This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة الخطيب البغدادي mentioned in his book تاريخ البغداد about a man whose name was Salih al-Mu'adhdhin. He had been the Mu'adhdhin for many, many years. And one day, he got up on the minbar, on the minara, the minaret, to make the adhan. And he looked over to a house next to the masjid. And this house belonged to a Christian. And there was a young Christian lady there in the yard. And after finished making the adhan and prayer, he came knocking at her door and he said, I want to be with you. He said, I want to sleep with you. And he had been the Mu'adhdhin for about 40 years. And so she said to him, ما هذه الخيانة يا صالح? What is this deception, O Salih? And so he said, no, I'm serious. I want to be with you. And she said, you can't be with me. You're a Muslim and I'm a Christian. My father will never allow us to be together. And so he said, what if I accept Christianity? Would you then be with me? And so she said, yeah, you're willing to go that far. But I have to know you're really a Christian. And so she invited him to the house. And he said, or she said, prove to me that you're serious. Here's some pork here. Eat it. And so he ate the pork, even though he had never done it before. And then she brought over, she said, you know, pork, normal, it's good. Have some wine then. Prove to me that you're not a Muslim. Drink. Drink this wine. And so he drank the wine. And of course, this was also his first time drinking that wine also. And so she said, "You've proven yourself. Why don't you go up and wait? Maybe my father will come, I'll speak to him." So he walked up the stairs, or the ladder to the roof. And because he was still drunk, remember, he's never had alcohol before in his life. So this is totally new to him. And so when he was walking up those stairs, or the ladder, he fell down and died. On that same day. And so she was scared. And her father came, and she told her father of what had happened. And her father dragged Saleh, the Muezzin, out into the streets. And the Muslims were furious, because they thought that this family had killed the Muezzin. And so there was a backlash of anger towards them. And then the father said, "Stop. Listen in on what happened first before you do anything." And so he told them all that happened. And of course, the Christians did not take him. And the Muslims had no way. They had to dispose of the body, and what they did was they couldn't bury him with the Muslims. And so they dug a hole in the desert, and they just put him in there without washing him or praying for him because of what had happened. This is what we call su'ul khatima, a wretched ending. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Innamal a'malu bil khawatim." In hadith in Sahih Bukhari, "Surely deeds are but determined by the end." The end is what is important. And whatever a person dies, whatever condition that a person dies in, he will be raised upon that condition. So if he died a Muslim, then he will be raised up as a Muslim. But if he died a non-Muslim, then he will be raised up likewise on the Day of Judgment. And this is something that the scholars of before, the Salaf, they were fearful of. And this is something even our Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continually ask to die in the state of Islam, to keep him firm. And he's the Prophet and Messenger of Allah. Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, which dua, which supplication did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam most frequently use? What did he ask for the most? And she said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say more than any other dua, "Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik." Oh, changer of the heart, keep my heart firm upon your religion. "Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala ta'atik." Oh, the changer of the heart, keep my heart firm in your obedience. And this was something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, to have this fear of a wretched and terrible ending. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will give us a final good ending. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ. O ye who believe, fear Allah as you should fear Him. Mean have taqwa, have true taqwa. Be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ. And never ever, this is a tawqeed or ta'keed emphasis here. And do not ever die. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And do not die except in the state of Islam. Because one who dies outside the state of Islam has surely faced the worst of failures. And that's why if a person is able to say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah towards the end, that in itself is a true success. It's to die in the state of Islam, to die in a state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in a hadith that I'm sure many of us have heard before, in which he said, Inna rajul, indeed a man, la ya'malu bi amili ahli al-jannah. He will do a deed amongst the deeds of the people of Jannah until حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراع. And until there's only a ذراع, a hand from the elbow to the tips is a ذراع. Until there's only one ذراع from entering Jannah. And then his decree, the book or that which is written, takes precedence over that, takes over, and he does the deed. In other words, he's been doing the deeds of the people of Jannah, and then he does, and then at the end of his lifetime, he does a deed amongst the deeds of the people of the hellfire, and then he enters the hellfire, but he's just one zira away from Jannah. And that's why the scholars were fearful and always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep them firm at all times. Now some people might say, well, that doesn't seem very fair. If somebody can do deeds amongst the deeds of the people of paradise, and then all of a sudden at the end, because it was written for him before that he will be amongst the people of the hellfire, so that decree takes over, and then he does the deed of the people of the hellfire, and he enters the hellfire. That doesn't seem fair, right? Well, some of the scholars have said, and it's clear to us, clarified to us in another narration, in which the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, فِيمَا يَبْدُو لِلنَّاسِ. فِيمَا يَبْدُو لِلنَّاسِ. He does the deeds of the people of paradise in what is apparent to the other people. In other words, he used to do deeds that were apparently the deeds of the people of paradise, but he was not sincere, or just in the open he would do it in front of other people. When he's by himself, he's a wolf. Or when he's by himself, he commits sins, and he's not fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, at the end of his lifetime, because he's not sincere, that comes out, the truth comes out at the end of the person's life. And many things occur during those times. Sometimes a person is called in order to say La ilaha illallah, but he's not able to do so. As in another case, as mentioned by another scholar amongst the people before also, meaning this is from one of the books of history, that a person came, and this was This was, by the way, Abdullah, the son of Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah. And he said, I was making tawaf around the Kaaba, and I saw a man holding on to the curtains or the drapery over the Kaaba and supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely. And he was making dua and he said, Allahumma akhrijni min ad-dunya muslima. Oh Allah, make me die. Make me leave this world as a Muslim. Oh Allah, make me leave this world as a Muslim. Oh Allah, make me leave this world as a Muslim. And this was the only thing he said the whole time. This was the only dua that he made. And so he looked at him and he said, Abdullah looked at him and he said, Aren't you going to add anything else? Is this the only thing that you're going to ask? Just this? Why aren't you going to ask for anything else? And so he said, why aren't you going to ask for anything else? Why aren't you asking for anything else? And so he said, if you only knew my story, if you only knew my story. And so he said, what is your story? So he said, I used to have two brothers. The elder of them was a muadhin. Again, he was to be the adhan, make the adhan also for 40 years. And he did it for the sake of Allah. Did it for the sake of Allah. This is what he said. And so when death came, he asked for a mushaf. He asked for a Qur'an to be brought to him. And so we thought that he wanted the Qur'an so that he would have some barakah. Trying to take barakah from the Qur'an, maybe recitation of it. And that's why he asked for the Qur'an. And so we brought the Qur'an to him. And right before he passed away, he said, I bear witness that I am free from this Qur'an. This Qur'an has nothing to do with me. And I disbelieve in this Qur'an. And those were his final words, and he died. After saying these words, and he had been the muadhin of the masjid for so many years, and he had another brother who took his position, took his place. And he did it for another decade or two. 20 or 30, even 20, mentioned about 30 years. About 30 years more. And then when he also was about to pass away, he did the same thing. So Abdullah asked him, this man, he said, do you know why? What was it? Did you see anything about them that was different? And he said, yes. They used to make the adhan, but they didn't guard their eyes. They did not lower their gaze. When women walked in front of them, in front of other people, they seemed very pious. When they were walking around, they would look at beautiful women and other things that were not permissible for them to look at. And this is a warning for us, especially during during our time right now, When some of those things are so prevalent, when you can be in your room or in your house by yourself and there's nobody watching you, it is very easy for you to turn on that internet or that TV and to see haram things. And you realize, you know what? It's only a little bit. When that pop-up comes, you start following the pop-up into that deep tunnel in the corner alley of the internet. And then you sit there looking at things that you shouldn't be looking at. And you think it's not going to affect you. But be very, very careful. For indeed, many a time, those things will come up in the most important time, the most difficult time in your life, the time in which you need to be strong, the time in which you need to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help you say La ilaha illallah, because you're so used to being obedient to the shaitan, you will not be able to say La ilaha illallah, and he will come to you and he will say, don't say La ilaha illallah, and you are so used to listening to him that you will listen to him at the final time and he will be successful. If you're not careful. So don't think it's just a glance in a text message and just an email or just a poke on Facebook. No. It might come back to haunt you. The truth will be revealed. Even if you're always coming to the masjid, but when you're by yourself, you're not obedient to Allah, when your inner is not the same as your outer, or sometimes worse, then in times in which you need, the shaitan can take over because you're so used to being obedient to him. And so maybe when your parents are asking you, or your friends and family surrounding you, or when you're very sick and the angel of death is at the door and they are saying, say La ilaha illallah, and you can't hear them because all you hear are the whispers of the shaitan, because you're not used to remembering Allah or reading the Qur'an when you're by yourself. And then you're not able to say La ilaha illallah and maybe say something that's worse than that, wal'iyadhu billah. And that's why every single day we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us firm. And the scholars of before were so fearful of this final ending, and a terrible or a wretched ending, that they followed the advice and guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it was on their lips all the time, just as it should be on our lips. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. Oh, changer of the heart, keep my heart firm upon your religion. Because at the end of time, when death comes, even to Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, at the final hours of his life, he was very, very sick to the point where he would faint and then he would wake up and gain consciousness, and then he would faint again. And in one of those occasions, he said, no, no, not yet, not yet. No, no, not yet. And then he fainted. And then when he gained consciousness, they asked him, Why did he say those words? And he said the shaitan came to him and reminded him of his good deeds. Look at the shaitan. Says, you have been so good. And reminded him. And he said, no, not yet another. He is trying to deceive Al-Imam Ahmad. But Imam Ahmad is saying, no, not yet. In other words, no, it's not the end yet. You know, it's not the end yet until the last moment of his life. I mean, it's not the end until the time that you die, that you should ever relax from the shaitan. Because he knows that that's a very important time, so he will give it all his effort. Because that's the finish line. When it is the finish line, every single ounce of adrenaline in your body you should use to say La ilaha illallah. And he knows that and he wants to defeat you. So he's going to use every single ounce of his energy and effort to try to make you commit shirk. And you will not be able to say La ilaha illallah without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that's why even the scholars of before, like Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, when at the time of death he came, he was crying, and the people around him said, what is making you cry? Why are you crying? And so he said, Yubkini bu'd as-safar. I am crying because of the long journey. وَقِلَّةُ الزَّادِ. Because the journey isn't ending. At the beginning of the journey to the hereafter is after death. That's even more difficult. And before you take a journey, what do you need? You need provisions. You need food. You need clothing. You need to fuel up. And you have to have that, because you can't fuel up after you have left and gone on the road. You have to fix your car before so that you'll be strong enough, that you have enough. And so he said, Yubkini bu'd as-safar, the long journey, wa qillatu zad, and the small quantity of provisions that I have for this journey, wa dha'ful yaqeen, and the weakness of certainty, yaqeen, and the steep hill. Once you get up on the steep, difficult hill, and then you come down from that hill, once you come down from that hill, it's either Jannah or Nar. It's either paradise or the hellfire. And so these were the last moments they're thinking about. Just even towards the end of their lifetime, they are fearful. And so as Muslims, we should be fearful of a bad ending. But at the same time, we should always have hopes. We should have hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our fear and hope should be equal. Just like Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned that the head of a believer, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the head of a believer. Hope and fear are his wings. If one is stronger or bigger than the other, then that bird will go around in circles and you will not be able to go forward. So you have to have fear and you have to have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And know, everyone here, we have to realize that none of us sitting here or anywhere else will enter Jannah solely by their deeds. You will not enter Jannah solely by your deeds. Alhamdulillah, We won't enter Jannah solely by our deeds. Do you know why? I want you to think about your deeds right now. Think about your deeds. If you were to enter Jannah by your deeds, where would you go? Where would you end up? It was solely based on your own deeds right now. But it's through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we enter Jannah. We earn the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our deeds, yes. But it isn't our deeds that enter us Jannah. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he mentioned this point, the companions, they said, even you, O Messenger of Allah. He said, even me, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala envelops me with His mercy. So it is through the mercy of Allah that we should seek. Seeking the mercy of Allah by doing things that are pleasing to Him. And one of the most pleasing things you can do is repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. You have to live as a Muslim in order to die as a Muslim, because you never know when death will come. You can go out from here, and at any point, any time, you can be in an accident. Don't think you're too young. Death can come at any time. And that is why you have to live as a Muslim all the time, to die as a Muslim. And thus, every single day, every single moment, we should be saying, La ilaha illallah. We should be saying, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. We should be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reciting the Qur'an. Because whatever you're used to doing, that's what you will do at the end of time. When death comes, there's another person in Brazil. He was a Muslim. But he used to love music and used to play with the guitar and things like that. And when he was in his last moments on the deathbed, his family came over and they said, Say La ilaha illallah. Say La ilaha illallah. He looked at him and he said, Just give me my guitar. Just give me my guitar. Because that's when I feel at peace. That's when you feel at peace. Is that when you're singing? He said, that's what I want. He said, say La ilaha illallah. These are your last moments. Say La ilaha illallah. And he's asking for his guitar, and he dies asking for his guitar. Because that's what he used to do. Death can come at any time. There was another man who, in the summers, he would go to Bangkok. And he used to go there to do bad things. And zina and things like that are very prevalent there and very easy to access. It's much easier than in the Arabian Peninsula. So he goes there. And there's a prostitute in his room. He's about to commit a zina. But he has a stomach. He's not feeling very good. So he goes inside the bathroom. And he's vomiting and throwing up. And while about to commit zina, he had some stomach issues. And while he was vomiting, he died in that state. And he fell over and he died with his head inside the toilet. He died with his head inside the toilet with a prostitute in his room. These are some of the bad endings. And there was another man, one person witnessed a terrible accident. This man, this youth was driving, this is a Muslim country. The youth was driving very, very fast, passing everybody up. And then all of a sudden he hit something and his car flipped until it became just a pile of metal. A ball of metal after it twisted and turned so many times. And so when the people saw that on the road, they stopped their car and they went to him. And they thought that there is no way this man can survive this accident. And lo and behold, they see him looking at them. And he says, he's looking at them and he's smiling. And they said, we can't, they tried to get him out and they said, we can't get you out. And he has just a few scratches only. He's looking at them and he said, and they're calling the ambulance and they're calling the, you know, the police and so forth. And so before the police come, he's waiting for them and he looks at the guy and he has a cigarette. Right? And he, of course, the guy in the car also smokes. He just got a few scratches from this terrible accident. And so he says, can I have a cigarette? Like he's upside down, okay, guy? He's upside down, he says, can I have a cigarette? And they can't get him out because it's all twisted. They have to wait for the fire department and the police and so forth to come with the proper equipment just to take him out. And so the guy looks at him, he says, you really want a cigarette? He says, yeah. So he gives him a cigarette and gives him the lighter. He turns on the lighter and the car, boom, blows up. Thought he made it free. After going all of that, through all that, still didn't learn his lesson when he was that close to death already. He still wanted a cigarette. Like they say, that was probably the straw that broke the camel's back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so many chances. We have been so disobedient to Him. Yet He still gives us chances over and over again. Every single morning we wake up, Allah is giving us a second chance to repent, to return to Him. And then we continue to disobey Him. But maybe that next sin, that next sin might be that straw that breaks the camel's back. So don't ever belittle a good deed. And don't ever belittle a sin, no matter how small and significant you think it is. Do not look at the smallness of the sin, but look at the greatness of who you are disobeying. Your Creator, the One who has given you everything, who has provided for you everything. How can you disobey someone over and over again who is so kind to you? Yet at the same time, as long as you're still breathing, as long as your soul hasn't left your body, you still have a chance to be better, to change. But you have to live as a Muslim to die as a Muslim. You have to live sincerely to die a good death. If you are bad, then sometimes at the end, the signs show up. Just like on another occasion, a person was being washed. He was a young man that had just passed away. As soon as they started washing him, his body started to shrivel up and turn black. When they brought him in to wash, his skin was clean and of normal color. But as soon as they started washing him, unlike others who became cleaner, he started to turn black. And so, when the person who finished washing came out, he spoke to the father and he said, "Who was your son?" He said, he spoke to his father. He said, "Well, who, how was he?" And he said, "He was a very good son. Was very obedient. He was good to his parents, good to me and his mother. But he didn't used to pray. When it was time for prayer, he just wouldn't pray. And so sometimes after that, the sheikh who was washing him, he told the father, he said, if that's the case, I can't pray for him. I can't pray janazah for him." So sometimes you see it afterwards. You don't pray. When it's time to pray, you don't make wudu. You have to understand that nur, that light that helps you to see, the light of iman in the hereafter and in the grave, and that cleanliness of the soul and cleanliness of the body is a result of those wudu, the times that you prayed, the times that you're obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that is why you have to be very, very consistent in your prayers. And of course also be obedient to your father and mother at the same time. As we mentioned, death, when it comes, when death comes, it doesn't matter if you're still, you think you're still young or still healthy. There are many other people who are much more healthier than you who have died, and others who are younger than you who have died. And there are many other people also, because of what? Because of their consistency. Sometimes one of the reasons for a bad ending is someone who is addicted to sins, who's always continuing to do that, committing sins, and they're always delaying repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, delaying tawbah, and they don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. And so sometimes these things show up at the end, and this is what we call su'ul khatima. There are so many other occasions As some of the scholars have mentioned, amongst them Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullah, he said, Abdul Aziz ibn Abi Rawad, this is one of the muhaddithin, the scholars of hadith, he said, I was present when a man was dying, and people were telling him to say, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. And he said, I disbelieve in La ilaha illallah. I don't believe in La ilaha illallah. And everybody thought he was Muslim. Why was he saying these words at the end of his lifetime? And so, Abdul Aziz ibn Abi Rawad, after the person died in disbelief, saying, I don't believe in La ilaha illallah, he asked him, how was he when he was alive? And so they told him, they said, he used to drink a lot. He drank alcohol. He used to drink. So because when you're putting things that are haram, it's very difficult for you and your body to be obedient to Allah when everything that you put in is haram. If you want to be able to say La ilaha illallah, then be careful of what you look at. Be careful of what you say. And be careful of what you're listening to. Don't think it's just, hey, you know what, let me just go to sleep. I want to put this, I want to listen to some music. Maybe go to sleep. Maybe some love music so I can start dreaming a little bit. And then when death comes and you say, that gives me peace of mind, yeah? When death comes, you won't be able to, maybe you won't be able to say La ilaha illallah. So don't belittle any of those things. And when death comes, we have to prepare for death, not at death. You prepare for it all the time before because you don't know when it comes. And whatever you're used to doing, then that is something, that habit comes back during times of hardship. And one of the most difficult times that anyone will ever face in their life is towards the end. And this is a time in which you're drunk, like a drunk, like you don't know what's going on. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when death came, when the Messenger of Allah sallam was about to pass away, he said, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Inna lil mawti la sakarat. Inna lil mawti la sakarat. La ilaha illallah. Surely death has its throes. In other words, death has its pains. The difficult of death that the Prophet sallallahu himself, Allahumma a'inni ala sakaratil mawt. Oh Allah, help me in the times of death. And it was very difficult for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that he was very hot, and he also used to faint. And he was so hot that the companions would put their hands on him, and they could not keep their hands on him because he was so hot. Imagine how hot he was. Imagine, you can't even imagine what the headache is. How are you going to say La ilaha illallah through all that pain? If you're not used to saying it. And so whatever you're used to doing, you're going to die doing that. There was another person who was driving on the freeway and then his tires popped. His tires blew. And so he came out to try to fix his tire. He came out, and this is a Muslim country. He came out to try to fix his tires, and a car came while he was on the side of the freeway and hit him. And so he was bleeding all over, blood all over his soaked body. And they brought him over, the police, they came. And so he was in the middle, and very, a little bit far away from the middle between the cities. And so he was, the police and the ambulance, they came. And they put him in the car. And while he was in the back, they could hear him whispering, as if it's a whisper, short, beautiful, beautiful recitation. And he is in this state of so much pain. Blood is all over his body, and he's reciting the Quran in such a peaceful manner, that the police started to cry. A beautiful, soft recitation coming from the back. And then they stopped hearing the recitation and he passed away. And so they said, the police officer who was in the car wanted to know who this man was. That anyone who is in that condition would be in such pain, they would not be able to recite the Quran like that. What kind of person is this? And so he waited until the relatives of that man came to the hospital. After the silence in the car, he had passed away in the car. But the police officer wanted to know who this man was. What kind of person was this? That's amazing. So when his parents came, his father said to him, or said to them, he said he was going to visit his grandmother in the village. And he always used to visit his grandmother, even though it was very far. He used to drive over 3 hours every week just to visit his grandmother. And we would say to him, why do you do it so often when she lives so far away? You don't have to go every week. 3 hours there, 3 hours back is a long time. So he told them, it's never a waste of time. Because on my way, I have time to read the Quran while I'm driving. And the father said, he used to bring da'wah material to the people in the village. He even used to bring candy for the children. And he loved to read the Quran. The whole trip, that's all he did. So even through the pain, because that's all that he was used to doing, he would recite. Very beautiful. And these were his last things that were on his lips were the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps a person strong when they're used to doing good deeds. But I want you to think of yourself now. What do you do when you're alone? Nobody's there. What do you do? How are your deeds? Are you happy to die in the state that you're in right now? Do you think your deeds will enter your Jannah? We have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to put all our efforts in trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping that He will give us a good ending. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah. O ye who believe. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah haqqa tuqati. Have true taqwa. Have true taqwa. What is taqwa? Maybe the closest translation we could say is be conscious of Allah at all times. Anything that you're doing, have an answer on the Day of Judgment. When you're sitting down watching hockey on TV and it's Maghrib time, on the Day of Judgment, when Allah asks you, do you have an excuse for not praying Maghrib? Can you say, I was watching Toronto play Montreal? Can you say I was watching hockey, Ya Allah? It was the final quarter and they went to overtime. Ya Allah, I had to finish the game. Do you have an excuse in front of Allah? For anything that you do, think about it. If you don't have an excuse, you better get up and pray. Because the peacefulness and the tranquility and the remembrance of Allah will continue in the most difficult of times. And you have to be obedient to Him in times of ease, for Him to help you in times of hardship. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. Know Allah in times of ease, and He will know you in times of hardship. In the most difficult time that you will face, was at the throne on your deathbed, are you going to be able to say, La ilaha illallah? We don't know. None of us knows. But it will be the most important time in our life. Because that is the finish line. When you get to the finish line, you can't give up. Doesn't matter how fast you were running before. If you stop and sit down or fall down before you cross that finish line, you will not win. You will not finish the race. If you just fall down or give up before you cross the finish line. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah. O ye who believe, fear Allah as you should fear Him. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And do not die except in the state of Islam.
وجزاكم الخير، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.